Hey! Our brother George, that was a thank you, Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Hey, no talking over there in the corner. Okay. Hi, everybody. People in the corner there. Okay, so. Just great to be here. Oh, buenos dias. Bueno, quiero que abramos nuestras Biblias a Mateo, capítulo 2, por favor. Hay una traductora ya que, para que todos, sí, pues. Okay, Matthew chapter 2. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just worship you. So we are here on the earth to be Christ. He's in heaven and he's here. But, you know, greater things will you do, he said.
Yes.
Not greater in quality, but greater in quantity. Because now we're everywhere. We are all over the earth, Christ's body. And we are here to whatever his desire is. Whatever, Jesus, what do you want to do today? Okay, why don't you go to the church and get together, fellowship with one another, be built up, hear the word. And and go here and go visit this person and say this to that person and tell him this, and that person doesn't know me, but this is what I want you to say. And you know, maybe not word for word, but the message, the idea, the gospel, the word, it's that's why we're here. That's why he hasn't taken us home yet. There's work to be done. It's sometimes hard work, but glorious. Sometimes you don't always feel the glory, but it is. It's all in the book, in the books, of memory. The basis, I suppose, for our rewards. It's all in there. We mustn't lose heart. I just thought of something that happened in Guayaquil. So I moved there 40 years ago this October.
Wow.
As a Peace Corps volunteer. And taught machine shop in the Polytech. And lived in this apartment, a building, small, kind of nice. You know, just up the street from where the school was, in a place called Las Peñas, which is where the city of Guayaquil was founded. It was a hill, kind of rock, which Peña means rock, so the rocks, Las Peñas. Peña. Peña, not N.
N. Peña.
Got the little squiggle Peña over the N? Peña. Okay.
Big place?
Las Peñas. So if you read it, don't ever say Las Peñas. It's Las Peñas. If you do, you'll get firmly rebuked. Las Peñas. Okay. So we were there. We did some evangelizing and sightseeing up at the top there, Las Peñas. They made it all touristy now. It's very nice. We came down, and then so we're with a group of like 15. I said, hey, I'll show you where I used to live. You know, like almost 40 years ago. So we walked up the street. It's all artsy now. It's cobblestone, and it's all artists and paintings and all kinds of stuff in that old neighborhood. Very nice. And I said, okay, we walked over a little catwalk, and see that window right there? That was my room right there. And then I hear, from the third floor balcony, John Hadley, John Hadley. What? Is someone calling my name? Aww. And I look up, and there's this guy up there. He goes, John Hadley, John Hadley. And I said, yes. And he goes, don't you remember me? I'm Americo was his name. Americo. It's Americo. And it's all like that. I'm like, yeah, okay, that sounds, rings a bell. And then he came down and talked with me and hugged me. And he goes, don't you remember me? And but he, because he's so much older and, you know, put on a lot of weight, but I recognize his teeth. His teeth were the same. I went, I know who you are. But it's, and then we got to talking about the, you know, we used to play soccer at the end of the street, and we used to go out in the canoe out in the river, and it's, you know, and all of a sudden 40 years was just like, wow. Yeah, it was gone.
Yeah.
And it was like yesterday we did it.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing, and I thought, that's what it's going to be like before Jesus.
Wow.
That everything that we ever did in His name, for His glory, it's going to be right in front of us. It's going to be fresh, like the lamb slain. He's freshly slain. He never gets old. It's always new and fresh. And when we stand before Him, all those things that we did by faith, by grace, it's all fresh. It's like it just happened. And, you know, I don't think we really have much of a capacity and understanding now to try and visualize what that's going to be like. So, you know, Jesus, it's the Father's will that in Him that He have preeminence in all things. You know, we're not there, but we want that. We're working on it. By His grace. We are working out our salvation. You know, what He deposited in us as a gift. We're working it out. We're learning to work it out with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling of amazement, because it is God that is doing it to... it is God that is doing it to... of His good pleasure to... Only the Spanish is coming. Help me out here. To will and to do. It is God's energy working in us to will, to want to do His will, and then to do it.
Wow.
He puts it in. He helps us bring it out. He puts the desire on the inside to actually want what He wants, and then to do what He wants. You talk about a gift.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's doing it. And that's why He gets the glory. And that's why we can only, you know, fall at His feet. And when He starts dishing out the rewards, we might even feel embarrassed. I don't know. Like, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong girl. This must be a mistake. He goes, no, there's no mistake. It's truly amazing. And we see... William McDonald brings this out in his commentary. I thought it was amazing. Matthew chapter 2. You know, we see Jesus, we don't hear it for some 30 years later, but, you know, God always had these thoughts about His Son. This is my uniquely born Son in whom I am well pleased. It was only begotten means uniquely born. That God was born. You know, God has no beginning, but a son, he was born and then he was given. The divine part was given, the flesh part of a little baby was born. In Isaiah 9:6, is that 9:6, 7:14? Yeah. So, but notice this, it says in Matthew 2:11, and when they were the wise men, however many there were, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. Okay, what's unique about that? They saw the young child with Mary his mother. But then you look at verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, that thou be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So that's 2:13. And when they arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Also, it's interesting that in Isaiah 19, that Egypt will be in the millennial kingdom specifically. They will be blessed, honored by God. Egypt, are you kidding me? Egypt, Pharaoh, destroy Egypt. Egypt was a perpetual enemy of Israel almost all of its days. And yet we see them in the millennial kingdom blessed of God. Read it in Isaiah 19, I think 20-something. And why is that? Well, because God is gracious. But one of the thoughts is that possibly because that Egypt provided asylum for the child and his mother and stepfather. That God, they did this much, which was really this much in this big scheme of things. And as a result, God says, you know, I don't take that lightly. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be in the millennial kingdom. Egypt will be in the kingdom next to Israel, blessed for 1,000 years. Truly amazing. Hospitality. How much the Bible says about hospitality? If an elderly woman who served in the church and lost her husband and had no family wanted to be put on the roll for church support because she had nothing or nobody, that was one of the requirements. She had to have shown full of good works and showed hospitality to the saints. Isn't that amazing? God puts such a premium on hospitality. But how much more when Egypt showed hospitality to God in the flesh. You can't serve God and not have it come back to you. That's what I'm saying. We cannot serve God, be obedient, and love Him, and serve Him, and honor Him, and not have it come back X-fold. I don't know how many fold. But that's God's choice, and maybe most of it's in the life to come, but that's fine. It's just true. So back to the point here, verse 20, 2:20, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. The point is that you don't read anywhere else where the child is mentioned before the mother. It's the mother and child. Just a child, it's a baby, the mother and child. Not here. It is the young child and his mother. It's Jesus. It's not Mary. It's Jesus who is the issue. Jesus is always the issue. And after the wise men met him, the little child and his mother, says they went back another way. And so it is that when we meet Jesus, we go back another way. We're not the same. It's different. It changes. The wise men went back. They didn't go the way they came. You can't meet Jesus and really meet Him and have things stay the same. Isn't it great that He invaded our lives? Yeah. That He came in and we had no idea what we were getting into. Maybe we should say who is getting into us. But when He comes in, He is so kind and gracious and loving. And Jesus always, and Jesus and the Father, the Trinity, has always put such emphasis on the spiritual relationship. Natural relationships have to take a back seat. They can't even really compare to the spiritual relationship in Matthew 12:50. Jumping ahead some chapters, he said, you know, I think Mark maybe gets into this a little more, but it says, verse 46, and while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren. By the way, I'm not dissing Mary. That's not my intent. Thank you, Lord, for Mary. Precious. Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him, because they want to take him away. They want to put him in the padded cell. Want to send the men in white coats to get him, because they thought he was crazy. Really, that he was beside himself. In verse 47, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. I mean, probably he thought, hey, this is important. Broke up the teaching that Jesus was doing, raised his voice and said, hey, you know, like, this is really important. Your mother and your brothers. And it says, the scriptures tell us that he had brothers. Four of them are mentioned by name. And then it says sisters, so he had at least two sisters. So Mary had at least eight children. That we know, because seven children, at least seven children. Jesus first, without knowing Joseph, and then six after at least. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And this must have been shocking. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Notice he never said my father. My mother. He's pointing to the 12. He's pointing to Peter and John and Andrew and James. And look at my mothers. All my mothers over there. All my brothers. There they. There's my family right there. And whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Look at the premium Jesus puts on following him and doing his will and being a disciple, a learner. Always wonder what it was like for, it was probably John and Andrew, because it says John, but it doesn't say the other, but probably, if I recall correctly, John and Andrew. They had the boldness to say to Jesus, where do you live? Where are you staying? Where are you hanging out? Jesus said, come and see. They spent the day in Jesus' apartment. What was that like? I bet he was hospitable, invited them in, have a seat. You guys want some tea? Or whatever it is they had. Can you imagine going to Jesus' house? Cafe Bustelo. Going to Jesus' house. You know he waited on them. You know, typical, Near Eastern hospitality. Sit down. If he cooked them breakfast after his resurrection, you can just imagine. If he washed their feet, if he's going to serve us at the table in the kingdom, can you imagine Jesus? Have a seat, guys. Man. I'll bet they never forgot that. John and Andrew walking down the road years later. Hey, you remember? Yes. Yeah, how could they forget? We ate at Jesus' house. That was amazing. Just amazing. And then he says, also in Luke 11:27, just to put the emphasis on the value that Jesus puts on our spiritual relationship. He really loves his people. We have no clue, really. There's a woman, and all of a sudden she just kind of pipes up, as we used to say. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice. Here's someone else lifting, hey, this is important. You know, just like someone yelling in the house. Your family's out here. And said unto thee, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou sucked, the breasts which you nursed. Blessed are they. And he said, yes, but more so, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Because yes, my mother's blessed, but more blessed are those that hear the word and keep it. You know what the last recorded words of Mary are in the Bible? John chapter 2, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Those are Mary's last recorded words in the Bible. I'm saying this, I was brought up Roman Catholic, like many of you, I'm sure. And although I must say, personally, I never really bought into the, you know, the pray to Mary thing, because it just was logical to me that why should I pray to Mary if Jesus is the Savior? And if God is God over all, so... this is what Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. So isn't the Bible really clear about that, about the priorities and about how God sees things? The young child and his mother, the uniquely born one, the Son of God, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God just puts everything in the Son. And if we love the Son, you can imagine how meaningful that is to the Father. And we have come into this relationship, and maybe we can finish with just, I don't speak about it too much, but sometimes it's, of course, good to go back and just look at John chapter 3, because this is really what we do. We explain the gospel to people so that they would be born of the Spirit. And we know about Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He was not just one of the rulers. He was this, according to Arnold Fruchtenbaum, he was not a teacher, he was the teacher. We know that you are come from God. He goes to the Lord by night, because he sees something. He knows that Jesus is more than just a teacher. He has seen miracles. He is curious. But yet, apparently, I don't know if he went at night because of his schedule or if it was because he really didn't want anyone to see him. But we don't know. But he says, no one can do these miracles except though God be with him. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you. Isn't it just like Jesus? He cuts the small talk. He goes, how can it be? And then Jesus just goes, you got to be born again. You know, he just doesn't even really directly answer the question, but says what needs to be said. That's the way he is. And Nicodemus said unto him, you know, like probably this took him off guard. He takes him literally. And Nicodemus just says, you know, how is this possible? Okay, you know, born again? Are you kidding me? Doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Nicodemus is just natural. And what Jesus just said is foolishness. It's like, what is that supposed to mean? And Jesus further explains, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be so amazed, Nicodemus, that I... See, up to you, you must be born again. This word born again is interesting to study it, because the theologians say that it's really kind of a word that you can't really nail down, because it means again just as much as it means from above. Mm-hmm. It's like, what exactly does it mean? And it's, you can't just put it in a word in English, but it's again, but it's from above, and it's both things. That we have to have spiritual birth if we are going to enter into the kingdom. Nicodemus has his Jewish ideas about the kingdom. Didn't have the New Testament, it doesn't exist yet. Had the Old Testament, had all the prophecies, and it's just an amazing study. I can imagine he knew all the prophecies from the major prophets and the minor prophets. And if you compile them, you know, you get an amazing composite picture of what the kingdom is going to be like. I'm sure you must have studied it, they anticipated it, they so look forward to throwing off the Roman yoke. Now we are going to be, Israel is going to be number one. You know the big styrofoam finger with the number one? We're number one. It hasn't happened yet, but we know it's coming. We're number one over all those Gentile peoples. And this is what, you know, as a Jew, this is what he's thinking. And Jesus is bringing it. It's like Nicodemus. You don't understand that sinners cannot inherit the kingdom. You'll ruin the kingdom. You will pollute, corrupt, contaminate, defile the kingdom. The only ones who can enter the kingdom are those who have no sin. Of course, in the millennial kingdom, there will be sinners, but they're not really in the kingdom. They're there physically, but they're not part of it spiritually until, and unless they're born again also through a faith in Christ. But the kingdom starts off with believers only. And so here's Nicodemus thinking, you know, what's he talking about? And Jesus says this about the new birth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. It's invisible. You hear the sound. You cannot tell where it came from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This new birth is invisible. You can see the effects of it. And it's unpredictable. We're unpredictable. We should be unpredictable because the Spirit is the one who is leading us. We're born from above. We have a brand new nature. And we are, 1 Peter 1:23, it all started with the incorruptible Word of God. The Word of truth, the Gospel. The new birth and the Word of truth have to, they go together. You can't have the new birth without the Word. Somehow, whether it's a spoken word, whether it's the word that is heard, or whether it's the Spirit ministering the word, but it's the word, the innate power of the word. And so we are born again by the incorruptible word of God, which we're born of a corruptible seed. All of us here, our parents, the egg was fertilized, we became a little, you know, the fetus, which is a person,
embryo, fetus,
grew in the womb, give birth, and that seed that came from the parents, which was corrupted, is passed on to the little baby, who will, you know, in most cases, grow up and get married and have children, and they will pass on the corruptible seed. There is something within the seed, in the curse, that it will die, and we're well aware of that. So we're on the way out. We're diminishing. Our as we get older, our strength is diminishing, and we're losing hair, and our eyesight dims. And you, what did you say? And you know, and fall down, and you know, end up like we started not being able to walk, and often we end up not being able to walk, and then we make our exit, and it's not a pretty sight. But there's the incorruptible seed that is in us. That has no elements of corruption, not a modicum of corruption in that seed. Amen. And that seed is from God. And just as all the characteristics of the parents are in this human seed and passed on to the child, and the DNA and all those characteristics, color of eyes and height and all of that, just as that is true in the natural, so in the supernatural, in that seed of the Word of God by which we are born again, that incorruptible seed, has all those godly characteristics are in us, and they will never change. They will never increase or decrease or be altered. They remain the same forever because it is the incorruptible, eternal, perfect seed of the living God by which we were born again and came into existence. And that is the new us. That is not passing away. That is us forever. And God is drawing us into this life that we can talk about with people, and like Nicodemus, woohoo, you know, out to lunch. No, our eyes have been opened to see the invisible. And this is what God is doing. And so Jesus says, are you a master in Israel and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, amen, amen. Remember, I like to put the emphasis on the prophets would preach or prophesy and then say amen. Jesus was the only one as a living word who could say amen before he said anything. Because whatever he said was amen. I mean, he is the word of God. Jesus could say amen, amen. You'd go, what? All right, listen, I'm going to tell you. Amen, amen, I say unto you, we speak that which we know and testify that we have what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven. Let's see, we have Moses and we have Elijah. I wonder what Jesus meant by that. No, they did not ascend to heaven with an endless life by their own power. They were taken to heaven by the will of God. It's not the same. So Jesus, of course, was right. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Wait a minute now. Now you're really confusing me. Where are you anyways? Are you here or there? Yes.
Yes.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just as in the wilderness, everybody was, those that were bitten by that venomous, by those venomous, poisonous serpents, which was a fatal snake bite. So we have been bitten by sin, and we have inherited that sin, and we will die, and we will perish. But if we just look by faith to the brazen serpent, Christ, who became sin, who never sinned, but became sin, just a look of faith, we are healed. The sin is forgiven. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. And it's all by grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That is amazing. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now what is that statement worth? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Our condemnation has been removed. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm reading to verse 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Before I got saved, I remember reading this, and I remember being, that hit me. Like, that men love darkness rather than light. I don't know how I read it or how that got into my hands. But I remember reading that and my heart was pierced, because I knew it was true. I love darkness and I hate God. I'm religious, but I hate God because he gets in the way of my life. And he's exposing me. And I remember that reality. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God is doing the work. We have the pleasure of yielding to him, and then we get rewarded for it. And then just to finish, it's really beautiful, you know, whatever happened to Nicodemus. Well, we read in chapter 7, in verse 50, because God's faithfulness. Notice this. He kind of sticks up for Jesus. Nicodemus saith unto them, the one who came to him by night, being one of them, does the law, our law judge any man before it heareth him and knoweth what he doeth? Nicodemus is part of the Sanhedrin, is saying, wait a minute, this is injustice. Why is this man being condemned when he hasn't even been, we don't even know the facts? And they answered him and said unto thee, are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Not true. Jonah was from Galilee. 2 Kings 14:25. So was probably Nahum and Hosea as well. These guys knew the truth. They just were speaking out of reaction and hatred. So we see, as we finish, we see God's Spirit working. The seed was planted in Nicodemus. God was drawing him. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And the Spirit of God is drawing Nicodemus, and he's obviously starting to think about these things. And then in chapter 19, we read these this beautiful history, 1938. It says, Jesus has died on the cross, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, permission, and came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also, look at that, Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen clothes with the spices at the manner of Jesus, of the Jews, is to bury. Wow. That's just wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Nicodemus didn't get it. Foolishness. But he had a hunger, a curiosity. And how the Holy Spirit, Jesus does not break, he does not quench the smoking flax. Just a little tiny desire, Jesus just fanned that little spark into a flame and bring him to a place of full salvation. A disciple. There he is, full-fledged. Amazing. The work is of God. It's spiritual. And once we're in, you know, once we're in, it's like we are family. We are family. And it's a whole other theme, but the outstanding characteristic of the family, not that it's always that way, but it's the way God wants it, and he's working it out, is love. Love. You shall know you have passed from death unto life. How can I know I'm saved? You love the brethren. 1 John 3:14, is it, or 17? Because we love the brethren. That is a chief characteristic of our new birth. It's not always easy, is it? But God's working it out. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Sir?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Bustelo.
I get it. Wait till that the next one tastes fresh.
We'll open this up for comments, questions. There's